Get ready to get your nerd on.
Kick the week off right with games, gadgets, and general geekery from the ladies of the Electric Sisterhood.
On Tuesdays, get your pop culture news and reviews with a pure Bostonian perspective on the Boston Bastard Brigade.
Geek Aggro is coming at you on Wednesdays to fill what's left of your cerebral cortex with the hottest beats to get you on your feet.
Then on Thursdays, you have me, Phil the Issues Guy, presenting the Live Issues program.
It's going down each week. Only in the land of Ash, nerdcore at its finest.
And now, the Boston Bastard Brigade, Electric Sisterhood, and Omnistry Inc. proudly present No Borders, No Race, the world's J-pop and alternative hotspot.
Konnichiwa, my bastards and wenches, and welcome to another episode of No Borders, No Race. I am your host, King Baby Duck. You know, folks, I was going to start the show off with a big rant against the MBTA, how they fucked me out of putting money onto my trolley card, printing out a ticket that I can't even use as a pass on the bus and subway, and forcing me to go down to Downtown Crossing to fix it all up. Because, well, these fare hikes don't seem to be going to anything useful, like a web service to make it all easier. I had it all written out, and I was about to tear another ripe asshole into the public transportation service. But then, something magical happened. I was going through Tumblr, which you can follow ours on b3crew.tumblr.com, and I come across a post on PBS's page. This post was announcing the return of a show that I held near and dear to my heart back in college. A show that rivals the awesomeness that is Yo Gabba Gabba. I am talking about a show called Pancake Mountain. For those of you who don't know about Pancake Mountain, it's a kids show that adults can also enjoy, hosted by Rufus, the talking goat. On this show, there are skits and such, but the real gold comes in the form of their musical guests. The likes of The White Stripes, Katy Perry, Tegan and Sarah, Reggie Watts, Andrew WK, Shona Knife, Arcade Fire, and Iggy and the Stooges. Many others have graced this show as well. But sadly, a couple years ago, they stopped doing it because they were having trouble finding a distributor. Well, it looks like PBS came swooping in, and they rescued the show from extinction, and I am so fucking stoked. If you get a chance, go to PancakeMountain.com and watch it. Brody Dale does the theme song, and Shirley Manson from Garbage does a travel segment. If that doesn't make you tune in, I don't know what the fuck will. And speaking of great musicians, why don't we get things started? Remember, as always, if you like what you hear and want to support these artists, you can grab just about all these albums and EPs from cgjapan.co.jp, amazon.com, iTunes, Bandcamp, the band's official sites, and your local record store. We are going to start the show off with the theme song from the new Pretty Guardian Sailor Moon Crystal series, and I do realize I am once again breaking my anti-idol group law, so let me put into action a new law that tinkers that law with specific restrictions. Let's call it the Baby Metal Law. Yeah, let's call it the Baby Metal Law. Only good pop idol group songs shall be played on my show from here on out. Now, what constitutes a good pop idol song? Well, one that doesn't make my ears bleed and jolt towards the nearest fucked up album I can find. okay, let me just sign this law into fruition, since I have no one above me to say otherwise. Let me it's the signature can maybe done. All right, done. So here now is the new Sailor Moon Crystal theme, performed by Memorial Clover Z. It's Moon Pride.
あなたの力になりたい。涙は頬を伝い、瞳は赤く燃える。稲妻のように激しく、誰かが愛を叫ぶ。たとえどんな暗闇、人に伝わったよね。
Machine Guns with Mama San Volley, which is featured on their 2006 album, Made in USA. Last month, they announced the addition of their new drummer, Leon, who also backs the Okinawan band, 8-Ball. This past Saturday, I headed over to the World Trade Center in Boston for this year's Comic-Con. There were tons of people in costumes, some really cool guests, and a plethora of booths to go and search for some really cool goodies. I was also there to show some support to our pal Pandalicious, as she performed as part of the Post-Meridian Radio Players, who put on a gender-swapped reading of the classic Star Trek episode, The Trouble with Tribbles. They did an excellent job with the tone and humor of the show, and the sexual undertones emphasized during some of the scenes were pretty great. Special props must be given to Brad Smith, who did an astounding job with the live sound effects. And props for the triple props. You know, they're so cute and so fuzzy when you hold them and hug them. Anyways, if you want to check out one of their future shows, visit huboftheuniverseproductions.com for all your info. Their next program will be something Poe-related. I think it's going to be like their Halloween show or something. So while Boston Comic Con was fun, not to mention it gave me the chance to walk away with some pretty sweet purchases, there are still some issues with it that keep it from being a great convention. First off is the problem of overcrowding. Even at 10 a.m. when the doors opened, the place felt packed, with very little elbow room to move about. Second, there was the slim picking for panels. You know, there were only two going on each other. Gaming rooms were also kind of small, and because of that, there were only three games to choose from to play. There was Magic the Gathering, My Little Pony, and Yu-Gi-Oh! And I reckon that there are a lot more card games out there that more people would prefer to play. Now, there is one thing Boston Comic Con can do that will solve all of these problems, and that is to move the event across the street from the World Trade Center to the Boston Convention and Exhibition Center. That's the same place where PAX East is held. The crowds from Saturday alone proved that such a relocation would be well merited, and with more room to work around, there could be more panels, larger game rooms, and more space to walk both on and off the convention floor. You know, I'm not sure the proper channels that they need to go through to make this change, but believe me when I say it would be worthwhile in the end. I'll definitely go back to Boston Comic Con again next year, but I'm not sure if it'll just be for one day or if I'll try for all three. It's going to depend on the who's and what's. You know, it's a year away. I think it's July 31st to August 2nd next year. You may want to double check that. Go to www.bostoncomiccon.com for more info on that. Right now, we are going to spin something from Raj Ramaya, one of Yoko Kano's many collaborators. Here's one of his own works. It's called Long Gone Guru.
White man's world. I don't know. underneath the suit that I wear. Smells like my solid, I'm making six figure sums. He's a broken Peter while I'm not your average bum. In this white man's world, give me some love, and it's time that we're coming of age in this white man's world. Give me some love, and it's time that we're coming of age in this white man's world. Give me some love, and it's time that we're coming of age in this white man's world. It's time that we're coming of age in this white man's world.
Got the little lamb, go to bed, eyesats. Eyesats, eyesats. Got the little lamb, go to bed, eyesats. Eyesats, eyesats. ビジュアル猫にそっぽ猫、盛りのドラ猫、痩せ猫も嘲笑って言ってる。朝日もないさこの世は、ほら無邪気な朝は光彩に染まり、そりゃあんたは白旗あげて
泣き寝入りさ。
何でもかんでも嘘っぱちって聞き語り飲んで揉んで飛んで、知らねえ間に万が一死んだ。あっ顔して喧嘩して、ハブレックもわしをもくれた国で、あっちもこっちも家だった最後のエリアにボディスト命
踏み込んだ。
裏切れ金しけくだらねえ空を今飛べ、パスポートを持ってエコのクラスでハラハラハラハラ飛んで、片言言葉で挨拶挨拶、主人公東京な言葉で挨拶挨拶挨拶、ガタゴトな言葉で挨拶挨拶挨拶。ガタゴトな言葉で挨拶挨拶挨拶、片言な言葉で挨拶挨拶挨拶。 挨拶挨拶。
Asakusa Jinta with Tokyo East End Rockers from their out-of-print Sky Zero album. The Asian Akin Hard Marching Band just released a new limited EP called From a Million Light Years, so go grab that before it becomes a collector's item. Well, last Sunday, news started trickling down about Studio Ghibli and the announcement that they might be shutting down. And you know what? I think we actually have audio from the people reacting to this news. Can you roll that clip? Now, mind you, that clip was recorded in Detroit, so there's a good chance that's just Detroit on a daily basis. However, there was an issue with the translation of this announcement, and what appears to be happening is that Studio Ghibli will be taking a short break, looking into how the company can continue on in the future, and then see where they will go from there. Here's the exact quote from Toshio Suzuki. "We're changing the way we make animation. We wanted to make a dream company. We thought we would make what suited us and not make what didn't suit us. We were able to realize that dream to some extent, and we're very happy about that. But now, we're at a point where we've got to think about what we'll do next." End quote. Now, let me tell you why this is a good thing. When it comes to an animation company, especially one in Japan, you are constantly working on project after project. Sometimes when this happens, you sort of lose a bit of those creative juices that helped you defy the limits of the imagination. And in order to replenish those juices, you need to take a breather. Sometimes it's just a month, others it could be a year or two. But when your creative stride has finally been refilled, that's when you can get back into your A-game. You know, we see these sorts of creative fatigue things happening a lot in anime, especially in many of the long-running shows. We're thrown countless filler episodes in the likes of One Piece and Naruto, and because of that, these series begin to lose the focus of what they were all about in the first place. You know, it brings to mind one of the scenes from the play Astro Boy and the God of Comics, where Osamu Tezuka started making shortcuts in order to create episodes faster and easier. Soon the show became a copy and paste motif, with Astro Boy going the Monster of the Week route. And because of this, Tezuka lost track of who Astro Boy was and realized that he had forgotten what made his creation so special. Hence why he wound up killing him off in the final episode. Had he taken breaks and gone the route that most American cartoons do, like 13 to 26 episodes a year instead of one episode a week for 3.5 years straight, this probably wouldn't have happened. It makes me wonder why more anime series do this. Do they fear that if they stop airing new episodes that their fan base would forget about their shows? You know, that actually might be the reason, but I believe that churning out episode after episode is more damaging than a break, as the quality of a program can go downhill quicker from it, making the viewer lose interest because of it. That's why taking a hiatus is necessary when it comes to shows, especially in the cartoon industry. I mean, imagine how faster the quality of The Simpsons or Family Guy would have gone down had they churned out episode after episode. Now, look at how some anime have benefited from taking breaks. Fairy Tail halted production for over a year, and it came back fresher and more focused. Gintama took a more forced breather, and when it returned, it was funnier than ever. Now, granted, it got in trouble for one of their parodies and was booted off the air, but that's besides the point. Inuyasha is a prime example of this, with them stopping at a certain point and waiting for the original mangaka Rumiko Takahashi to finish the manga before animating its final act. And you know, just recently, Bleach ended its anime series with hints that it'll come back when the time is right. In regards to Studio Ghibli, this is a break that is definitely well merited. It's no lie that the studio hasn't really brought its all in their last couple films. Animation-wise, yes, they were still beautiful to watch. But the stories were kind of weak. And if you asked me what I thought the best Ghibli film has been these last 5 years, you'd be shocked to hear that I'd respond with From Up on Poppy Hill. It had a great story, memorable characters, and beautiful animation. And this was from Goro Miyazaki, who became a bit of a laughingstock with Tales of Earthsea, Studio Ghibli's worst film. Studio Ghibli needs to take a vacation, recharge its creative juices, and return its focus to making films that stand out from every other animated movie out there. Even though Hayao Miyazaki isn't at the helm of the directorial ship, although it was reported that he is working on a short film for the Ghibli Museum, they still have a lot of talented people ready to take charge once the studio is ready to jump back into making movies again. We just need to be patient. And I think we can be patient. Can you? Can you? I think you can. And you know what? Let me help you take your mind off of this whole Ghibli hiatus by playing some more music. Let's spin something from My Summer Plan, coming from their Hey Girl release. It's called Love You Online.
Human flesh.
The kings of Norwegian death punk. That was Turbo Negro with Sell Your Body to the Night. That comes off of their Scandinavian Leather album, the second part to their Apocalypse trilogy. The first being Apocalypse Dudes, and the third being Party Animals. A couple weeks ago, my friends from Wicked Anime and I were chatting about how the game Shogi was featured in the anime Terror and Resonance. We then were wondering the symbolic significance of the game and how it's been featured during prominent scenes in other anime series. Well, we couldn't figure it out, so we decided to ask someone else who may have that knowledge, which leads us to another segment with our favorite Japanese teacher. That's right, here comes another edition of Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Nihongo.
Hi everyone, this is Sawa Sensei on Nazo Nazo Nihongo. Nazo Nazo Nihongo のコーナーへようこそ! Welcome back!ということで、今日も日本のポップカルチャーや文化についてみんなと学んでいきたいと思います。どうぞよろしく。 So, today I've got a request to talk about game Shogi tonight. Shogi is one of the popular Japanese board game as well as Igo. However, I guess not everyone knows about this board game much, so... And, to be honest, I only knew very little about this game. So...I'd like to start from its very introduction. Shogi is known as Japanese chess, two-player board game just like Western chess. Two opposing armies fight a war to capture the opposing army's king, and with lots of various tactics. The board we use is divided in 18 wide squares, and this will be the war area.20 pieces lined up in three ranks at the outset of the game. The ultimate goal of Shogi is identical to that of Western chess. The route to victory features several unique rules. In Shogi, when a player captures an opponent piece, that piece becomes a property of the capturing player's army, allowing him or her to drop the captured piece into play anywhere on the board.Successful play must incorporate dropping pieces as a part of play's offensive and defensive movements. Another unique feature of Shogi is that nearly all pieces in Shogi have the option of promoting when they reach their opponent's third rank. These promotions typically increase a piece's offensive capacity. Speaking about history of Shogi, there are several sayings, and commonly it's been said that Shogi was imported from Shu, current South Korea,China or India in 6th century. But since no written evidence is found yet, nobody knows the true historical background of Japanese shogi. The oldest written record is one from 9th century, but it's easy to tell how it's been a very popular game in Japanese culture by seeing from the common phrases or sayings that we still use today. Let me introduce some of them. One is shogi daoshi.Shogi daoshi, which means fall over like dominoes. As maybe you can imagine, it came from the image that falls one after another. And another one is takabisha, which means act or speak in high and mighty way. Takabisha. This is name of the tactics of shogi. And another one is oute.Oute, which means check, like checkmate in chess. And it describes the situation that you can take the opponent's king. So it's almost one more way toward your goal, the success. Oute. And also, this is very popular too. Mata, another expression of wait. Mata, mata. And many times it's been used with the phrase...like a mata nashi in a serious game situation, which means no wait or there's no going back. Mata. And lastly, I'd like to introduce this one. It's sutegoma. Sutegoma. Sacrificed piece. For the big success, you give away some pieces to opponent. And here, I'd like to introduce you one of my most favorite Japanese rock band. Their name is the Blue Hearts.They were formed in 1985 and broke up in 1995. Two of the members, the vocalist Hiroto and the guitarist Marshy, formed another band, Hallows, after the breakup of the Blue Hearts. And still today, in the Japanese music scene, as a member of Cro-Magnon, they too are still rocking with the cool new band members. The title of the song is Stegoma. Stegoma, which I just introduced as one of the popular words from Shogi. The song was released in 1993 as a B-side track of the 17th single, Yugure, by the Blue Hearts. So, here we go, Stegoma live version by the Blue Hearts.
おろしたての戦車でぶっ飛ばしてみたい。おろしたての戦車でぶっ放してみたい。何か正義の味方でなれない。誰かの敵討ちをして。
Really cool song, powerful and energetic. I hope you all liked it. As we've been talking, Shogi had been very, very close to our daily life here in Japan since years ago, long time ago. And currently, we've been hearing that Shogi is becoming a boom again trend here in Japanese culture. Recently, more parents are having their children to go learn shogi from mainly three reasons. One, shogi is a win-lose game, and it goes together with the luck. So even pro loses sometimes, and which means amateurs also have a chance to win pros. Two, not like the sports game. There's no score, but simply win or lose. There's a moment that you have to say, I lost, by the end of the game, which gives a moment to accept and protest your situation, even if it's sad. Three, there are less children in Japanese society, and it's been considered as a good opportunity to learn the win or lose through the game, which will bring children to experience how to recover from a vexing feeling. There are lots of shogi cafe or salon everywhere around in Japan, and occasionally competition has been held. Of course, anyone is welcome, not only Japanese men or Japanese old men, but also for the foreigners from overseas or females. Old-style vintage atmosphere, should I say, such as like tea places or to the modern and fashionable cafe bar kind of places. Especially recently, there are more female shogi players appearing here in Japanese society. And most of the cafe or the tea places have beginner night or a daytime session for various levels. As a highlight news from the shogi world, on July 19th, Denno Revenge Match was held at Tokyo Shogi Kaikan, and its game was broadcasted by Nico Nico Douga for 23 hours live. Live broadcast for 23 hours, which means the game sustained continued for 23 hours. It was a match with Shuso as an artificial intelligence and Tatsuya Sugai, professional shogi player. As a part of the study on AI, artificial intelligence, computer shogi had been developed with a little later start of the study of reverse or chess since 1974. In 1986, Computer Shogi Program Group was found in Japan, and in later years, this group became a Computer Shogi Association. The competition of AI versus AI started since 1990, and also public gameplay of AI versus human professional shogi player officially started in 2005. Until 2009, human was winning for the most of the game, but starting 2010, AI start beating the pro, human, and now its winning percentage is over 90%. It's almost 100. The special rule was added for this time. No interruption, and 8 hours waiting time. And other than these rules, there were 5 p.m., 10 p.m., 3 a.m., and 7 a.m. rest already been set. So maybe it's not surprising that match of this game lasted over 20 hours. 4 months ago, Tatsuya Pro lost a game with this AI, artificial intelligence named Shuso, and he accepted this rule for the revenge. However, this time, AI won again. There were rumors that Dennosen, which is AI versus human, is not fun anymore because AI is so much powerful than before these years. However, it's been reported that this game was worth watching and there were so many shogi fans stayed awake for 23 hours just to watch this game. It is a tough game, but very thoughtful and fun game to watch once you know the rule. For all the beginners of shogi, how about starting by reading shogi manga? 3月のライオン, The Lion of the March, maybe an English title, which was written by Chika Umino, who's famous with a comic titled Hachimitsu to Kuroba, Honey and Clover in English, which became TV drama series a few years ago. Also, Hachuan Diver or 365 Hon no Yuki are also very popular shogi manga titles. In August 8th, another new shogi comic will come out with the collaboration of Ryoji Minagawa, who is famous with the title Arms Creator, as well as a game character designer, and Hajime Isayama, who is famous with Attack of Titan, which is Japanese title in Shingeki no Kyojin series. This new title is named The Killing Poem. It'll be picked up on Shonen Magazine Summer Special page, and it's been buzzed on and offline these days. There are a lot of free software games online and offline, even if you don't have a shogi board. Maybe Doubutsu Shogi application might be a good start to learn fundamental and basic of shogi rules and games with cute animal pictures. Actually, I just downloaded one for myself, and I'm kind of excited to start playing it. So, that's all for today, and let me go start playing it. I hope you got interested in Shogi, the Japanese board game, and hope to see you guys soon again in Sawa Sensei's Nazo Nazo Corner. Thanks a lot for listening, and それじゃあまたね! Bye-bye!
Arigato, Sawa-sensei, and remember, if any of you listeners out there have any questions for Sawa-sensei, please write to us at thebastards@bostonbashbrigade.com with the subject line, Ask Sawa-sensei. You know, I myself just picked up a video game app for my iPad to learn how to play Shogi, so hopefully the more I try it, the better I'll be, and maybe I can learn how to play it on an actual board. I have one. I got one a few years ago when I was over in Japan, but I've barely ever used it. Let's get back to some music. Accompanied by Ad Rock and Takagi-kan, here are Teriyaki Boys with a cut from Serious Japanese. This is Can't Bake That Thing.
1987 is when I met Khan. My introduction to what goes on in Japan, across the land. The B-boys hit all shit, goddamn. I fly around the world and yes, I'm flossing. Best to keep your day job in Lawson. On a mic, a sweet and tasty, like a plate of Okonomiyaki. Trey Sheik, same enemy. You melt like butter with the words I speak. The name is Ad Rock and I'm here to stay. Can't fake that
bait! 1993年に A Bathing Ape スタート。原宿から生まれたこのブランドは瞬く間にワールドワイドな存在となる。 Can't fake that bait! まさに1993 till infinity! そして時は流れ2003年テリヤキボーイズ誕生。思い起こせばヒップホップには常に時代と場所で重要なリーダーがいたよね。 エリア来るパスいるわいるわいるいるあらゆる場面でリーダーはいる紹介しようテリヤキボイスのリーダー
この街界隈一番タックに乗っかり勝手にゴーちゃういつでもてっぺん気分はメイテイなら全編俺らがロックトゥダ AM これまでも総産地直送飽くなき暴走冷めな衝動 NIGO できたて B 超俺らのミッションデリバリー一丁たった今コンポーズしたフーやばいぜコンコースでブーンボックスフルーコースベイブの照り焼きボーイズのフー
Can't fake that babe Can't fake that babeCan't fake that fake, fake that fake, fake that fake that fake that fake. Can't fake that fake, can't fake that fake, can't fake that fake, fake that fake, fake that fake that fake that fake.
1960年代から70年代、80年代、そして90年代とダンスとシャウトのパフォーマンスでスーパーファンキーに盛り上げてくれたのが知ってるよね、ジェームス・ブラウン。ダンサーの MC に魅了してくれるこの男のルーツにもきっとそんなファンキー大統領の魂が宿ってるはずだぜ。テリヤキボーイズのファンキーダイナマイト、ストリクトリー江戸前、人呼んで江戸良治。
急にダンディズムしだり曲がる、ただ下向きにして走るシップ沈むリズムにら歴史練り出し言葉がケツからし知り出す Oh シリアスジャパニーズ頭隠しゃかわいい早飯早風呂早手のフォーはめる早寝早オフさん物取っても無理無理物足りないマニーメイキングこっちとら酔いっぱりでバディシェイキング浮世のアートホームドラッグアートロック鳴らしなバイコンブレイクアドーンストレイプフロム下町江戸領事こんなワーク完全に濃い口ソース
Can't fake that babeCan't fake that, babe!
江戸っ子のノリもヒップホップに通じるね。ヒップホップは今や世界中に住むあらゆる人々に共通している文化であると同時にネーションでありジェネレーション間違いないよね。だからこそそこには楽しみと同時に賢者の声も欲しい。ストリートワイズな描写で人々を魅了したラッキングがかつてそうだったのにさ。紹介しよう。左手にマイク右手にドーナツでもハングリーだこの男、ミスターワイズ、
yeah. 腹減ったぜ Pass me the chopsticks 腹ごしらえすれよくなるこの滑舌アクセスうなぎ登り WWWISE 世界のシェフでフルーフルコース素材はフィッシュキンビーフリポークメインディッシュでもちろんこのソース受けるテリヤキモノモースおっそら悟空みたいにジャパニメーションからハリウッドムービー We don't give a rat's ass Haters be brewing 聞こえないメルローズあたりをクーゼ
ン Can't fake that babeCan't fake that fake, can't fake that fake, fake that fake, fake that fake that fake that fake, can't fake that fake, can't fake that fake, can't fake that fake, fake that fake, fake that fake that fake that fake.
1980年、アフリカバンバータ&ソウルソニックフォースのプラネットロック。ここからヒップホップの火が世界中に飛び火した。ヒップホップが世界に送った招待状がプラネットロックだったんだよね。そしてそのインディを幼少の頃すぐにガッチリゲットしていたっつうのがこの男、新プラネットロッカーでスーパージェットセット、そのグラサンの奥の目はブリンブリンに輝いてるぜ。テリヤキボーイズのアクティビスト、
全てを飲み込むショック、ここを敵に回したらお先はドック Recognize I'm electrified 触るとシャック軽く未来ワープさせる Hot step up and take off 鳴る when I talk on a mic when I rock the 機材 freely Come see me 知らない君たち Sleep like Mino さん on TV 思い切り I'm slicing 見たくもない MC マジワイセツ Can't fight this 俺はバイキングナイシン破壊大帝。
どうだいテリヤキボーイズ、ファブな4人だ。おまけにこの4人の後ろでビーツを鳴らすのがジェネラル2号なんだから、何が起きるのか全く読めない。どうだい、肩にはまるのがヒップホップだと思っちゃつまんないぜ。新しいフォーマットをビーツまで思考思考思考思考何でもありだな。思い出してくれ、こんなフレーズもあったよな、92年の夏ロングアイランドワイルディング、ちょっと一丁いっちゃうか。スタンクカンク高木カンビーツに乗せた歌詞キラーだカン都市銀融詩人グルービン巡り巡ってベイプで封印文化の衝動ドアトゥドア夢見る行動ホールトゥホールルバロンで飲むドンペリオカヨービーツだライムこの悪なフロ
ー。いやいやもう酔った酔ったよこのビーツと
ジムドライビ
ー
フィナーキボーイズだよ。ちょっとオールドスクールっぽいな、さっきのさビーツ話したら、なんかこう4人いてでこの DJ が2本やってて、ファンキーフォンプラスワン、あれ思い出すんだよね。オールドスクールの感じでさ、でほらあの頃ってプロデューサー別にいて DJ がこう後ろにこうレコード回してグループでこうみんなラップして
やるなと思っちゃったりして、まあ、誘われただけなんだけどさ、まあ、この機会に俺もなんだろう、
remix of Ayumi Hamasaki's Decision. That comes off of her IU Mix 6 Silver Techno album. Last month, the pop idol queen released Colors, making it her 47th record to chart within the top 10 on the Japanese charts. Only one other female artist has ever done this, and that singer is Yumi Matsutoya. Let's talk a little wrestling. As a kid, I was a big fan of the World Wrestling Federation, or the World Wrestling Entertainment, as it's now called. And while I stopped watching it over a decade ago, my love for the likes of The Undertaker, The Generation X, and The Rock never quite died down. So, my heart sank when I read that one of the most iconic commentators of the WWE was leaving the company, and that man is good old JR Jim Ross. For those of you who've watched a pro wrestling match with his commentary in tow, the way he spoke, the way he presented himself was unlike anything we've ever heard. The enthusiasm, the pure raw energy, and the undying love he had for sports entertainment popped out of every syllable that came out of his Oklahoman mouth. From his first pay-per-view at WrestleMania 9 and the iconic Mankind Undertaker Hell in a Cell match in 98, he spoke and presented in a way that made the wrestling world more real to everyone watching. Hell, it just didn't feel right watching a match if you didn't hear his voice. I remember when I went to a Raw's War event back in 1999, and it was the episode where Mankind and The Rock won the Tag Team Championship for the first time. The birth of the Rock and Sock Connection. It was so great watching it there in person, but even so, it lacked something. It didn't have the commentary that I fell in love with, the banter between Jim Ross and Jerry the King Lawler. It wasn't until I got home that night and rewatched the event on TV when I felt like I was getting the whole experience, thanks to the voice of the King and JR. Now, I know it's a very bum deal that JR has been kind of forced out of the WWE, and maybe one day we will hear the whole story behind that whole WWE 2K14 panel fiasco, but for now, we should all just take off our cowboy hats, stand atop our steel chairs, and give a big cheer for the most influential commentator the wrestling world, probably even the whole sports world, has both seen and heard. You know, at least this isn't the last we'll hear him speak. Do be sure to check out his Ross Report podcast show. He's got a lot of great guests from the wrestling world popping in each episode, talking about their lives in and out of the ring. It's a great show. I just started listening to it. The Stone Cold interviews he did for the first two are just fantastic. All right, let's get back to some music. Here's some De La Soul for your eardrums. Earlier this year, as a Valentine's Day gift, they made their entire discography free online via their website. So, for those of you who missed out, well, you should have gotten it, is all I can say. From Artificial Intelligence, Bionics, and featuring CeeLo Green, this is Held Down.
This is dedicated to all my folks diagnosed with a bad case of that proper upbringing and never took the time to fall in line or follow or swallow the thoughts of the recognized committees who lurk throughout your city, your hood, your town. No matter which type you're from, the same type of people trying to hold you down just because you tailor-made for bigger and better things. Never missed a chance to move ahead of things. And what does it bring? I tell you, for me, it brought jealousy and back wounds from all the stabbing. Cats posing as my fam just to get the grabbing. What's mine? I'm living in times where my daughters are found around kids who can't afford thinking caps, but always found drinking raps and eating on beats, claiming laws of the streets. But who made the laws? Everybody playing rebel with no sign of a call. And I've been blessed to reign supreme over nearly every dream I had, and I made it come true. I'm an imperfect man and I'm holding the clue to perfection. It doesn't seem to matter what direction I look, I find people setting traps, trying to find the goal without having any maps. Even friends of mine jumped online just to become my adversary. They felt they were entitled to the dairy I made. They don't come to chill or behave, and they got toast ready to burn, not learning to live, but they yearning to take what you earn.
Well, I feel the world around me. I found others to bring you down, that's true me down. You see, you got to make up your mind where you wanna be and where you wanna go with your life, with the life.
so quick to place blame and deny the shame we bring upon ourselves. So many names held accountable for my own account when a large amount was weight that I made in shape. When I climbed, I found it was hard to find others around to point my fingers at, which made me realize the truth. The biggest suppressor can be your own ego, looking for an excuse to plant roots in a field of self-sorrow to sprout and follow the first thing you feel. Nourishes your hunger to be respected. It gets hectic, and when I'm watching the news and my daughter walks in and chews to ask, why were all those people on the floor sleeping covered in red? I told her that they were looking for God but found religion instead.
Yeah,
Cherry Girl from her Black Cherry album. Earlier this year, her newest record, Bon Voyage, was released, topping the Oricon charts back in Japan. Well, that about wraps up this week's episode of No Borders, No Race. Remember, for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bash Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, song requests, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Twitter at king_baby_duck and on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com. Like us on facebook.com/bostonbastardbrigade, and don't forget about the other shows under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Geek Aggro, and the Issues program. This is the last week that Astro Boy and the God of Comics will be playing at the BCA Plaza Theater. So any of you New Englanders out there who haven't had a chance to check it out, I urge you, please see this play. For tickets and more info, visit company1.org. I've mentioned about this show for 3 straight episodes, people. I've never done that with any other entertainment media ever. So you know I'm speaking the truth when I say you can't miss it. Let's finish things off with an early track from Suemitsu and the Sumit. This melody comes from their 2006 album, Man Here Plays Mean Piano. It's called Basketball Game Crush. And until next time, this is King Baby Duck reminding you that you don't have to be from Boston to be a bastard. But it sure helps.